This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time 99.1 and 92.3.
Okay. 10:06. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. John Potter, live and local. We're going to take calls on just about anything you want. I think around 10:20, 10:30, somewhere around there. So, but right now, we're talking money, how to get some, how to get more. This is Ryan Hislop. He is with Sierra Pacific Wealth Management. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me on your show today.
I think people are going to love you because we were talking off the air about your career. You were an F-14 pilot. You did combat tours. I could do a whole segment with you about that.
Yes, as I, my wife always says, that's when he was young and handsome, but no longer anymore. That was a young man's game, but I'm very proud of my military service. I retired honorably after 21 years back in 2017 from the U.S. Navy Reserves.
God bless you. What combat tours?
I did Operation Enduring Freedom, which was the Afghanistan 04-05 on the USS Harry S. Truman. And then I did the 07 Operation Iraqi Freedom on the USS, the Harry S. Truman, the one that just parked a couple planes in the water.
So after that, you got into finance, and I hear this from a lot of people. California chased you out.
It did.
And you were by the ocean.
We were. We lived in a lovely place, North County, San Diego, called Cardiff by the Sea. I finished my reserve work there at North Island. And, 2013, if you remember, California passed Prop 30 retroactively, increasing the state income tax from 9.6 to 13.3% at the top rate.
I was going to say it had to be bad for somebody to leave the oceanside where you lived in near San Diego. To me, that's like heaven. Well, I was there in the 70s. I don't have been there lately.
We do live in Incline Village, and I must say we do have our little slice of mountain heaven up there. So
absolutely.
It's definitely, I would not say it's a downgrade. If anything, it's an upgrade because you're in the wonderful state of Nevada.
And now you have a company. It's Sierra Pacific Wealth Management. Tell me about your company.
Yeah, so I started my career at big New York broker dealers. You can go on my broker check and see where. I'd prefer not to say their names. But in 2020, I saw an opportunity to take my team and our strategies and start my own firm. And now we're all up and down the West Coast. We have offices in Washington, several in California still. So we still have a presence there, just not me. We're in New Mexico and Texas. One of my advisors is opening a Las Vegas office for us. So we're expanding, we're growing, and we, you know, we do all the things that the big New York banks do with a conservative tilt and at a much lower cost structure.
Where is your office?
So I like to say global headquarters is on Country Club up in Incline Village. So if you're familiar with the Hyatt and the casino, we're right across the street from them.
So basically, you work on preserving money for people and getting more money for people. Let's just start with, since we're talking money, I've been hearing for decades now, and yeah, people were asking this in the 1990s, I remember, is Social Security going bankrupt?
Well, before I address that, my moniker, if you will, or what I like to tell clients or prospective clients is, it's not our job to make you rich. You're going to do that doing whatever you do as a profession. It's our job to keep you there, right? And so I look at wealth management, financial asset management as preservation for clients and, you know, really being honest and upfront about what they can spend or can't spend and try to, you know, be that voice of reason, especially for people that don't want to do it themselves. With regards to Social Security, there is a lot of misinformation, disinformation, whatever you want to call it. The system's not going bankrupt because people like you and I are sitting here working. And the way the system works, we pay FICA taxes and it goes immediately right back out the door the next month to the beneficiaries of Social Security, people that are taking Social Security. Additionally, almost 40% of this country, retirees in this country, 40%, their only source of income is Social Security. So it is something that cannot go away just basically for the mere existence of, you know, 40% of the populace.
Well, two things I worry about. We're talking baby boomers retiring en masse, and also the you know, leave it to the Democrats. Means testing, the means testing. People who have the money should not get this type of attitude. And that kind of worries me a little bit, as if I have money, right? Yeah. But it's just not fair. So I don't have a lot of faith in the politicians solving Social Security. So retirement, okay, there are some mistakes to avoid and some good money tips that I'm curious to hear. What's your advice about to the soon-to-be-retired and the retirees out there, Ryan?
Well, number one, going back to the Social Security thing, yes, it is correct that according to the trustee report that comes out in the fall with the cost of living adjustment, that there, if there are not significant changes made, there will be a reduction in benefits, and it's approximately 80% of what benefits are today. When people tell me that, well, what if they start means testing? Well, both Social Security and Medicare are means tested. Medicare has something called the income-related monthly adjustment, dependent on your income, if you're 65 or over. And then Social Security is means tested because the way your benefit is accrued is through three bend points. And the bend point for lower income people garners you more future benefit at a faster rate. So they are both means tested. So anyone that says they're not, I understand what you're saying, though. Are they going, based if you have a certain amount of income in retirement, are they going to take away your Social Security? I think personally that would get any elected official unelected as quickly as possible, because as a voting block, who tends to vote the most in elections? And it's going to be those retirees.
Okay. You have strategies.
Tax-efficient
withdrawal strategies. What can you tell us about that and about things like, RMDs and what do I hear a lot about? The 4% rule. Quick education for you folks. Tell us about that, Ryan.
Well, one of the things I'm a big advocate for, if you can, let's say you retire at 65, right? So most people will just go out there and grab their Social Security right away. I'm a big fan of beginning to draw down your what we call qualified assets, meaning like IRA money or 401k money, prior to taking Social Security. If, for example, your full retirement age is 67, you get an 8% increase in your Social Security. It's called a delayed retirement credit, plus the cost of living adjustment, which is averaged just under 3%. So what investments do you know guarantee you, 11% rate of return over the 3 years that you delay it? I tell people all the time, if you draw down your risk assets, meaning your IRAs or 401ks that are invested, and then, of course, they have fees, whether you like index funds or stocks or you have an advisor like myself, there are fees. What's the fee to receive your Social Security in the mail or in your bank account? It's zero. And it's guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And if you're married, there's a spousal benefit. And if you pass away, there is a survivor benefit. So it's hard to beat the value of Social Security through an entire lifetime of retirement. And I'm a big advocate. The problem is the people on my side of the business want more assets under management because that's how they get paid. But the right advice is to draw down those assets prior to Social Security. Take your Social Security at 70. Now, that's not going to work for everyone because maybe they don't have that assets or maybe they're sick. But you really need to do a proper evaluation and look at these, what we call the crossover point of Social Security. And I know a lot of people that are probably listening have done their own databases and everything else. I would caution, because you need to also account for the cost of living adjustment each year, because it compounds each year with your benefits. So it's something to definitely take a look at. And we do those Social Security analysis for our clients and for people that are prospective clients. And I would invite anyone that is listening today to find us at SierraPacificWealthManagement.com. Right online there, it says Social Security analysis. And we are happy to provide a free one to any one of your listeners today.
What type of folks do you work with?
Well, we like to say we work with people that inspire us, but obviously we want to work with folk. I don't want to work with someone that comes to me and say, make me 20% a year, year over year, buy this stock, trade this. That's not what we do. We're here to manage assets and withdrawals. You go through basically two phases of your life, accumulation and distribution, right? And you work your whole life accumulating assets so that you can retire and distribute those assets. And that's where we come in, and that's where we do our best work. So those are the type of people we work with. We also, for the business owners that are out there that I hear all the commercials, we do a lot of 401k plan work. If you have a broker on your 401k plan and you haven't heard from them and they haven't given your employees, education in the last year, I would encourage you to call us. I'm willing to bet we could be 20% cheaper on the plan, and we have a dedicated 401k
special. You're talking about fees, right?
Right, exactly. Especially if you're one of the big New York firms, from a 401k perspective, I guarantee you we can cut the cost 10 to 25% off of what those New York firms are charging you.
You hear that, folks? Find out what your financial advisor, what the fee is, and might be a surprise to some people. And know that Ryan just said that he can cut it up to 25% with what he does. Free review for certain accounts too, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
There's a database out there that you can look up, because everyone, not everyone, but most people that have a 401k plan, they have to file what's called a 5500. There's one 5500 out there for Evans Broadcast. So we can look those up and look up the fees, and typically look up who the advisor on the plan is. What I would say to business owners, if they were sitting across the table from me, is you have to remember that's a big topic with ERISA and the Department of Labor. As a business owner, you don't want to have your plan audited, right? You don't want to get in trouble because you're not getting proper education to your employees and doing just the little things that need to be done. Often 401k plans, especially contractor type plans, are just forgotten about. And I'd hate to see a business owner get in trouble because with the Department of Labor or have some type of audit. And that's what we're here to do, is to take that off the owner's plate.
How do you generate more or new cash for people, to put it bluntly? Are you into stocks? Are you into certain strategies that can help folks out there seeing their money depleting that can boost it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. That's a question we get often from most of our clients. You know, how do I set up cash flows? How do I set up distribution of assets? How do I generate more? Again, you know, if we're known for one thing, it's using options. They're called covered call options. And I'm not here to make anyone an options expert today. But what I will tell you is we've consistently generated in our flagship strategy since 2011, a little over 7% in annualized income. We have a lovely 30-slide deck. I'm happy to send anyone a how we do that and how we go about that. But I am a big fan of dividend paying stocks and then writing calls against those so that you are essentially doubling your income. Oh, and 2022 taught us a lot about markets. We thought in 2022 you could be safe just owning a whole bunch of bonds, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, not so much. And our strategy in 2022 was up 2%, not down at all.
Man, I'm 70. Now you tell me. All right, Ryan Hislop of Sierra Pacific Wealth Management. How can people find you? I can Google Sierra Pacific Wealth Management. You come up?
You certainly can do that. You can Google Sierra Pacific Wealth Management. We'll pop right up. You can come see us at 120 Country Club in Incline Village. We have someone there pretty much all the time. Well, during work hours, which, you know, we usually start around 7:30 in the morning and be there till about 4 o'clock. You can also dial us direct, although I'd have to look up our number. It's on the website, put it that way.
And for certain customers, you will do a free review for accounts. And you are fiduciaries. Well, I can never say that. Fiduciaries.
That's correct. I'm a certified financial planner, which requires me.
Which is important because they look to your benefit only and not the old E.F. Hutton way of let's sell this guy this fund so we can make a bigger commission. That's what a fiduciary is. From what I understand, they look out for your benefit and not for their commissions.
That's correct. It's putting the client's interest before yours and disclosing any conflicts of interest, those type of things.
All right, my friend. Good meeting you, folks. Sierra Pacific Wealth Management, you just heard from former F-14 pilot Ryan Hislop. How long have you been in the financial game?
I am going, let's see, 2000, my quick math, 16 years now?
16 years.
But I have several other advisors on the team, including my former branch manager at my former office, who's now an advisor on my team. And so collectively, the six or so advisors on our team, we have over 100 years of experience.
Awesome, man. Ryan Hislop of Sierra Pacific Wealth Management. Thank you, my friend. Hope you come back.
Thank you for having me, John.
All right, sir. 1020, I'm John Potter. Phone line's open right now. Open topic, anything local you want to talk about? 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1021.
99.1. the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello, John Potter here. They call me the computer here. Nothing to do with my intelligence. It's I go to sleep if left unattended for 15 minutes. 10:24 is our time. Just check temperature in Reno. It's 83. Here we go. Expected high today, according to the National Weather Service, Reno, 97. If it hits 98, we will match a high temperature record set in 1910. All right, super local news, which I find interesting. Here's a report. By the way, our phone number, 884-9910. Report from the Record Courier, you know, the of course, the Carson Valley newspaper, very fine newspaper. Anyway, wrote this up. You know the lone car charging stand in downtown Gardnerville across from JT's, and it's right next to the Historian Inn. It's in between the Historian Inn and that huge, amazing, antique, mercantile, thrift establishment, which is fascinating, you know, the big white brick building. Anyway, right between those two on Eddy Street, it's been there for 10 years, the electric car charging kiosk, and it's been there, I think, for 13 years. I mean, Gardnerville, oh my gosh, Gardnerville, thinking ahead here. But people were charging their cars, their electric cars, with this one little solitary electric car charging station on Eddy Street, Gardnerville. Well, apparently they were not charging for the electricity, from what I'm told, which surprises me. But I do remember when the very first car chargers came out, they were all free. And that's not now, of course. Now you use credit cards and such. So this might be the last free one, but the Record Courier reports that the town of Gardnerville may end that. Town manager Eric Nilsson is proposing beginning a user fee of 30 cents per kilowatt hour to use the rapid charger and 20 cents for standard chargers. Shoot. That's and I don't even have an electric car, but it's the way of the world, you know, sad. Okay, going from Gardnerville to Sparks. Have you folks seen the, now that they're finished, well, with road construction, sometimes they never finish, but Pyramid Highway, have you folks seen the new bike lanes on the east side of Pyramid Highway as you're going east on Pyramid to Costco and the other 80-some big box stores? On Pyramid, north from North McCarran, all the way, I think, past Los Altos, there are these tall concrete barriers between car traffic and bikes, and it's not stopping there. Now the city of Reno is prioritizing, they say, the installation of protected bike lanes, which are physically separated from traffic by barriers or curb extensions on certain city of Reno streets. The city believes physical separation between bikes and cars helps to reduce potential conflicts and improve overall traffic flow. And at first thought, I felt, you know, wow, you know, this would make me feel safer biking. But as a motorist I know told me, let me know, John, when you see these on a wealthy street, a concrete barrier between cars and bike, that's something new for a car to hit. And how long until these kill somebody or flip a car? You know, like a Joey Chitwood stunt show. There's no more shoulder on the road for vehicles, on Pyramid at least. And you wonder, like in the winter too, how do these work when the road needs to be plowed? Where will the snow, which used to be pushed to the shoulder in the sidewalk, where will the snow go? Personally, I think the bike barrier designer is from Florida, but actually those concrete barriers have a name. They're called, I'm learning so much about these. They're called Jersey barriers. And they're ugly. They're ugly.
Yeah, they're either they can be Jersey barriers or K-rail.
You know more than me about these things. I find it to be dangerous, okay? And yes, they're ugly. They're just a concrete blah gray up against the right side of your car as you're going east on Pyramid. And it seems like, and I still bike a lot. But even to me, it seems like it reduces the width of usable driving space. And it seems not just there, but you look at what they did on West Plum and on Plumas, south of Plum. We're running out of driving lanes. And this war on transportation, I just don't get. You know, the thing that caught my attention, though, getting back to the concrete bike barriers on Pyramid, these dividers are at some point, in some way, going to be dangerous. They're going to kill someone someday. And I'm not sure that checking off a political box, look, we have the safest bicycle lanes around, is worth endangering someone else's life. And on a street where you have big traffic needs, a very busy street, almost a highway, as they call it, Pyramid Highway, a lot of people go through there. Where you have emergency vehicles, just does not make sense to me. Anyway, we got a break for Fox News. Our phone number 884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday. We got a whole. Do we have a whole half hour without a guest? I don't. Hey, producer. I don't know.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have
okay,
a
yes,
full
we
half
do.
Hour of you.
Oh, my God. Yes, we have a guest at 11 and a guest at 11:30. So, hey, let's go at it, folks. 884-9910, 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter, breaking for Fox News on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk, time 10:31.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, my friends. John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon. 884-9910 is our number. It's open topic this half hour. Let's go hit those phones. Let's talk to Paul, calling from Virginia City Highlands. Hey, Paul. I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Hi, John. How are you? Actually, you said you're doing well, so you don't have to answer that. I've been listening to you, so I know how you're doing.
I appreciate that.
Say, I got to... Okay. I really appreciate your show. I was telling Craig earlier that usually when I hear that there's a local radio show coming up, I'm like, oh God, now what? But your show and Nevada Outback, I love them both.
Backroads?
I look forward to them both. So,
Backcountry.
Yeah. So anyways, I got a comment about the cement barriers. You know the white lines on the side of the road? You're not supposed to cross over those. The bike lanes, you're not supposed to cross over those in a car. It's a lot of people think that's a recommendation, but it's not. It's the law. But people drift over. You watch people. You drift over into them all the time. You know, it's like, yeah. So, but you never see them drift into the side barriers, the guardrails, right? They get careless. They drift into the bike lanes. They drift into off the fog line, they call it, all the time.
Well, that's the reason.
Nobody ever drifts.
What you're saying, Paul, is the reason they put up the barriers up. I'm well aware. And listen, I bike constantly to work all the time. And I can count three near-death instances where cars just raced past me. There are some drivers out there who... You know, they're edgy. They like to get as close as they can to the bike and zip off and scare the hell out of you. That happened to me 3 times. So I understand from that point of view. I'm just saying, watch out, because somebody's going to get killed with the concrete barriers, tightening up those roads on Pyramid Highway and taking away the shoulder.
You'll be surprised when people see a barrier, they pay attention because they know what it's going to do to the car. There's going to be a few, but those are the drivers that, you know what, pay attention. You're out there driving the car, pay attention.
You wish.
Stay out of the bike lane, stay off the fog line. You know, it's not that tough. It's the law. It's not a recommendation, but the lazy drivers are the problem. It's not the bicyclists. It's not the whatever. I used to bike a lot. I was a big bike rider. I've done the death ride, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 times, and
but you wouldn't ride these streets now, would you? I mean, I stopped doing it myself.
There are certain streets that I would stay away from. Obviously, and times of day, you know, Saturday mornings are pretty safe on a lot of streets because not a lot of people are out.
You'd be surprised how many drunks there are at Saturday morning. I don't want to bring everybody down. I appreciate your call, Paul. Thanks. Take care. You know what? I neglect texts. Let's see what we have today. John, don't forget, last day for the gold and silver is Sunday, 1 p.m. tomorrow. They're only closing it, I heard 3 to 6 months to totally renovate it. The gold and silver, of course, we're talking about on West 4th. Last day is tomorrow, 1 p.m. I thank you, whoever sent that text. Okay, let's move on to the next one. John, was that 1910 record high temperature of 98 degrees today taken at the Reno airport? I'm not trying to be silly. I believe the current official temperatures are taken at the airport, where there is now a lot more asphalt for heat absorption and reflection. I would expect it to be easier to record a higher temperature, which will, of course, be blamed on climate change. Man, you said exactly how I feel about this. When they talk about climate change, they're overlooking the fact that we have 100 times more concrete out there in the city. And, of course, it reflects the heat. That's your simple answer as to why temperatures have risen. Well, have they risen? Because this record high temperature was set in 1910. 1910 must have been a lot of climate change. All right, you're saying exactly what I would say, and I appreciate you putting it into better words than I could. Next one. Hi, John. Would like to hear an update from Leslie Moran of Emerald Arc on Oreo. Ah, yes, thank you. She sent me an email. Leslie, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. There's a lot of emails I haven't gotten back to. Last I heard, we had a major donation after Leslie was on the air to help poor Oreo, who has quite a story, couldn't use his back legs, and was unwanted by everyone. And Leslie and the Emerald Arc took Oreo in. John would also like to hear a segment from a lawyer on how these district judges can control the president and his efforts to protect the USA. I like to say, how can the judges do that? The judges were not elected. Okay? All right. Next one. John, let your fans know your Facebook identity so they can see how Brain Formula has improved your old self's appearance. For example, if you Google my name plus the word Facebook, it comes right up. Of course, you have to post an honest selfie. Sincerely, DV. Very sore subject, TV. I had a very good Facebook page. It was KTVN John Potter, and I had 9,000 followers on it, and I would post videos of me just talking in the backyard every week and posting a lot of things that ticked me off and made me happy around town. It was a very engaging and very popular Facebook page, but as you probably know, I had 19 wonderful years at Channel 2. The 20th was not is nice. They don't like conservatives there. They don't like it when you grow old either. So we left on bad terms. As a matter of fact, I was cut off on the air saying saying goodbye. So they won't give me access to my Facebook page there, which is a darn shame. I do have a John Potter Facebook page. Nobody knows it's there, I guess, because if you type in John Potter into Facebook, you'll see 250 John Potters show up, and which one is me, you know. So I got like 40 people who follow it. There's not much there, and for that reason, I don't do those videos and things and have the fun that I used to have. I don't know. I got to find a solution for that somehow. Appreciate the text. And the emails. Oh, gosh, emails. This one came in after the show last Saturday. Good Saturday, John. Your perspective on the history of Reno, Virginia City, and Nevada in general is highly appreciated. It's something that a younger person would not offer. A replacement for you? No, thanks. Thank you. That was somebody who suggested I step aside and let a young person do the show. That email came in like, I think, 2 weeks ago. It was a text. Somebody suggested, why don't you step aside and let a young person do this show? I should be retired. And I said, I am not a step aside person. I don't quit, to my boss's dismay. And if you want this show, you have to take it from me. And I've always had that attitude throughout my whole career. And young people should definitely be more aggressive if they want a certain job. Work hard to get the job you want. That attitude has served me very well. And in 50 years, only been fired twice. It works. Second email. Hi, Andy from Carson City. I quit watching the news when John was no longer on. I listened to his show religiously on Saturday because we love John. Thank you. I guarantee you most people listening think I wrote that or those. Third email, it reads, it's a nice one too, and thank you, whoever you are. I just see a phone number. I don't know who sent this. John, I want you to know how much we appreciate the Sunday or Saturday morning show. John, we appreciate your patriotism, love of American history, and the time you take to remind us of our history, our sovereignty as citizens, not subjects, and the priceless gift of liberty. It's also nice to hear an interview with a committed pastor, and in the same hour, somebody from the Republican Party. Yeah, that was a few weeks ago. We all know that God is not a Republican or a Democrat, but Satan is another matter. We know which party he prefers. That was from my How Come the Media is Ignoring the 250th Anniversary of Our Beginning as a Nation rant. Yes, they ignored the very first revolutionary battles 250 years ago, the battles of Lexington and Concord on April 19th, not a thing on TV. Every day this year is a momentous day in history. 250 years ago in the birth of our nation, every day. I looked up May 31st, today, 250 years ago today, George Washington wrote this letter to George William Fairfax, dated May 31st, 1775. Fairfax was Washington's neighbor and a friend, and George wrote this about his first engagement between British soldiers and his Massachusetts colonial forces. George wrote, quote, "The Americans will fight for their liberties and property. However, pusillanimous," sorry if I mispronounced that, "in his lordship's eye, they may appear in other respects. Unhappy it is, though, to reflect that the once happy and peaceful plains of America are either to be drenched with blood or inhabited by slaves. Sad alternative, but can a virtuous man hesitate in his choice?" You'll never hear that on the TV news. I mean, this is something I think kids have to hear instead of what they're being bombarded with in school with political correctness and woke and how this was a terrible nation and discrimination. And it's worse than ever. And no, they have to hear about our noble origins and what we wanted to be and what we strive to be. And one more email. This one refers to what I said about how former Governor Sisolak especially was all about shutting down private enterprise and freedom and promoting the California-style expansion of government power. And yes, it is natural for his political party, which I consider to be the party of the advancement of governmental power. But you and I, if you go back to the days in 1775 and in the year after we earned our star and our stripe on the flag, we're about freedom. And my suggestion is we go back to being about freedom. And if I were to add one phrase to the dollar bill, it would be live and let live. That's who we are. And we know what America is. We're kind of born with it in our hearts and in our minds. If we will honestly look, if we will patiently listen, I think the challenge we face today is not knowing what America is, what it was meant to be. It is trying to avoid people who want to lie about us, about what America is. All right, I've gone over time as usual. Sorry, Craig. It's 10:50. Got time for one more segment of phone calls from you. 884-9910 or text. Make me do all the work and read your text. That's okay, too, though. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon on 99.1, 92.3 FM. Talk FM, News Talk, time 10:50.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
John Potter, live and local. Jackie, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called. Welcome to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, Jackie. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I recently started commuting from Spanish Springs to South Reno. And if I can do it, anybody can. I'm one of the handful of people who has used the Pyramid bike lanes. They're beautiful. I'm so grateful they're there. Nobody's ever described me as an athlete. It's 15 miles. And instead of getting to work stressed out and hating my fellow citizens, I get to work happy, optimistic. I wear a little heart rate monitor just for fun. And I see I was in zone 2 for an hour. It's been the best.
That's wonderful.
Change I've ever made.
You take me back to when I lived at Wingfield Springs. I mean, way, way mm-hmm. north Wingfield
yep,
Springs to the
I
end
am.
Of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And taken, and there is a bike lane, which really is mainly on Sparks Boulevard. And I took it once. I biked to work at 4 in the morning from Wingfield yeah. Springs outlying area to Channel 2. Took me an hour over, and I think an mm-hmm. hour and 10 back. It was a wonderful ride. Mm-hmm. The catch is, there are some segments, though, when you are sharing a road with traffic. And I'm sorry, Jackie, I've just gotten so freaked out by certain people who seem to want to scare me or a bicyclist and
oh,
just
they,
get as
people.
Close as they. Right. You've experienced this yourself. And
yes.
I don't want to risk my life on just to take the bike and feel better.
I want to reassure people there is a learning curve. Sparks Boulevard, for example, the bike lane does continue, but it crosses the street. So from Wingfield Hills to about, I forget where, but it's before Prater, about four blocks. It does cross the street. And then if you
right.
continue towards Legends, then it does go under the road. There's always a bike lane on Sparks. But, it, you know, there's a learning curve. And one suggestion I have is you can put that you want to ride your bike when you're on your Maps app. So instead of saying you're taking your car, say you're driving, say you're on your bike, and it will tell you where the bike lanes are. And if I want to find out if there's shortcuts, I say I'm walking. And it took me a week or two to find some really good routes and to shave some time off and to find where I'm never competing with traffic. And I do. I leave super early in the morning because I'm a morning person, so I have that advantage.
Oh, man, and you're like me. Did you ever do
mm-hmm.
the bike ride from, see, I used to live at Mayberry, and I used to bike to Verdi for a weekend breakfast, and it was a wonderful bike ride, Jackie, but there's a certain segment where you're sharing West 4th Street, I think was, yeah, it was West 4th and dodging. And oh my God, it's a horrifying half mile. The rest of it's great.
I have had a couple people scream at me, and men and big trucks think it's funny to scare me. And that's horrible. I don't understand why anybody does that. I'm always in a bike lane. I'm always minding my own business. And I'm on a little cruiser. I'm not on riding a cool bike. So no, I've never done that ride. I just commute. I have a little basket on my cruiser. I'm actually a decorator and I wear nice clothes every day and I wear dresses and heels and I just ride my little cruiser and I probably look like the Wicked Witch of the West, but it's fun.
Keep going, Jackie. I appreciate your call. I got news coming
all
up.
All right.
Here.
Thanks. It's a
Thank
good
you,
topic.
Dear.
Thank you.
Yeah, super. Keep in touch. Well, so anyway, what do you do now, John Potter? Because I don't like driving. I don't enjoy it. I really don't. I walk. I walk an hour to this radio station every weekday when I do my midday shift, and an hour I walk back because I thought it was safer. Well, I've had a couple of near-death experiences walking to the red light runners in this town. Unreal and dangerous, dangerous stuff. Just walking in anyway, enough griping. Our first, our next guest is up after Fox News. So I hope you stick around. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 10:58.